Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Brass Tacks Express starts right now on your Voice of Barbados or on 929.com, 92.9 FM, or on TuneIn or wherever you listen to us around the world. I am your host, Corey Lane, bidding you a very, very good morning. Producer, Michelle Brathy. As I said, we go until 1 p.m. this afternoon, and you can give us a call at your number, 434-1790, 434-1790. Send a WhatsApp, nice, readable, flowing WhatsApp to 266-4862 so that you can communicate. Of course, if you want to attack someone or, you know, throw a low blow, I encourage you to pick up the phone and show that bravery as opposed to hiding behind the screen and sending your pot shots from there. Now, there are a number of things that occupy my mind that I would like to start with, but as the phone line is going, it tells me that people already have made up their mind what they want to talk about. So instead of going in to any sort of detail, what it is on my mind, if someone raised any of the four of these topics, I would be happy to engage them. But it will just give you a slight intro on each. Of course, we have the education 11 plus common entrance allotment allocation exam on the tip of the lips of many Barbadians. We knew that this day was coming, but as usual, we wait late. We still have about a year and a couple months, and I believe that this time should be spent wisely, you know, having that very intense, comprehensive, or holistic debate where each of and every one of us would like to see that go. Enough said. The whole issue of the Canadian visitor, and of course on social media, we get links of this media and how it's being portrayed abroad, particularly in Canada, one of our biggest source markets for tourism. I have my thoughts on that. Enough said. A comment was made about research on a program here Sunday where it was alleged that we're not doing enough to understand. And I wonder if people like Cheryl Willoughby and Dr. Dwayne Devenish and Kim Ramsey and how they felt, because I felt the opposite a few years ago. And that was in relation to, I believe we were doing so much research and not enough turning to the back page of those proposals and reports which showed recommendations. I thought we weren't going through the implementation plan based on the research. And to make sure it was not dreaming in La La Land, the task force on crime prevention, I've asked them to send me over this research. Let me refresh my memory that this is research that was discussed. Enough said. A few months ago, I was made aware of this new app and website that young people were using called Confessions, where all type of things were happening. Someone asked me to come and speak on it. I wasn't versed enough on it. I passed on that. But after that, I did my research. And today, we may be touching on that. Someone have approached me to come and talk to you a bit about it. So hopefully we can link up with them during the program to hear about these confessions, because I believe this is a good forum for young people, but also for you adults, you grandparents, to speak to your children who may have teenagers and understand what's going on around them. Today we heard the Minister of Youth talking about these new drugs. And even if you're not on the ground, you don't understand, the Voice of Barbados Starcom Network News should be able to help you with that, and also Brass Tacks. So we're going to touch on that. And then lastly, on politics, I understand people are saying the debate here in relation to the Democratic Labour Party. You're hearing these fractions, the old guard versus the new guard. And I'm reminded about politics and politicians. And I think the real divide is between those who are finished with politics and no longer feel as though they need your approval, and those who want to get in. And how politicians always appear before they get into office / power. how they behave and how they talk and how they appear versus when they actually attain that power. But anyhow, we have a full board. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's get down to brass tacks. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning, Corey.
Hey, morning. Good morning.
Right, good morning to you, sir.
Bless you, good
morning.
Well,
listen, I have a topic I want to talk about, but just to knit back a little bit to what you just spoke about from two of your four topics there, that I got a little thing about because the 11 plus is one. I did that many, many years ago. I was one of the first persons to do that test, actually.
What year was that?
I think it was 1962, you know. And I went to one of the second, it used to be called then second grade schools, you know, mm-hmm. at that time. I went to the Aline School, really. My mother didn't have the money to send me to any other school, so I did that 11 plus and got a, what we would call then a scholarship from the government. Mm. And I went to school for the next couple of years, and you know, I'm thankful for what I did, the education that I got at the Aline School. I came from Holy Innocent School, actually. I went to the Aline School and did pretty well, and that served me well for all my life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but I know they got to tweak it, they got to do some things with it, because it's a bit antiquated now, I would think. And they're doing
a bit.
A bit, yeah.
You're
but
too nice.
Very common, you know. I just, you know, I know I've heard people lashing it over the years, and rightfully so, I guess, you know.
No, we always are interested to find out more and more about how this has mm-hmm. affected you. But because we know you'll be on the Express Edition, I want you to get basically to your main point and tell
yeah,
us
right,
what
right.
it is that you're calling about
right.
this morning.
But I got to also mention the shooting incident, mm-hmm. because that is mm-hmm. going to affect all of us in Barbados, mm-hmm. because we are so hooked on tourism. We depend so heavily on tourism that when we get one of these damaging incidents happening, it can scar the whole of the island. So I hope the perpetrators will be brought to justice anyhow, you know, terrible. Anyhow, but my main thing, I want to talk a little bit about Calypso here. And you mentioned also an act of bravery in giving lashes. Some people can give lashes, some people can talk about thing and next thing. But this is an act of bravery that I want to talk about, because I sat in my home and I watched the Soca Monarch show on television from Trinidad, the only mecca of Calypso. Mm-hmm. And I also read the comments that came after. But I want to offer words of adulation and mastery, bravery. These words, respect to this guy Lead Pipe, to see how he handled himself during that whole debacle. Mm-hmm. It isn't easy to be coming at number one and having, you know, the things that he had gone through, going off his stage, I mean, the microphone not working, had a relapse of almost 15 minutes, came back on to do his show, and the microphone not working again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it's the artist who were on the show had a good running, mm-hmm. very good running. The MC came out and everything was working good. The mics were working good. But then when it comes to the Bajan artist at number one, numero uno, mm-hmm. number one, you know, he was just jabbed.
The funny thing about that is during the semifinals, I was following Sluggy Dan. Sluggy Dan, manners and respect all the time, brother. Mm-hmm. And the similar thing happened to our Barbadian artist, particularly the guy he traveled with from Youth in the Spotlight, mm-hmm. Where the an instrument wasn't working, that particular
right.
musician.
I heard about that as well.
Maintained the crowd and started the party. Forget that. Move on. You couldn't hear the levels and the mic wasn't, and all type of different things just went wrong. So we don't know if these things are coincidental, or they're technical, or they're otherwise. That's the best way to put it.
I just want to big up the guy, Lead Pipe, for staying the course. He went and did a pretty good show. You know, he represented well. But I also want to let people know, and also to Lead Pipe, that the show is bigger than Trinidad, you know, because he's going to be seen by, you know, somebody somewhere who would have looked at his act of bravery and look at who he handled himself.
Correct.
And you never know where he can go from there, because he put out a class show. So that's all I want to say. And the show is bigger than Trinidad, even though it's the mecca. But we look forward to big things from him because he's a very talented artist. And we look forward to big things from him in the future and also Sadis as well, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say.
Big, man, big, no, big respect to you and thanks for starting us off on such a wonderful note, man.
Okay, Father.
Okay, good. Sometime. Yes, we go to another call. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning, sir.
It's Glenn Murray. How are you, sir?
Yes, you know what you're doing right now. He said that. I can't help. You can talk me here from North Coast, Kawhi. I can't help, man.
Behave yourself.
I have to give respect. Homage where is due, man. Yes, sir.
And you know it's mutual, too, so we've always been happy and good with each other, so.
Yes, please.
I like to contain, you know, maintain that tradition.
Same here.
A slight passing to mention to your the first call is talking about led by in Trinidad. You know, I say I don't believe in coincidences. you know.
But and sometimes you're not at liberty to say what you believe in on these programs.
Right. But too many things happen. I understand rehearsals well. Everything mm-hmm. was fine. But bugger down, bugger run. And I just wanted that Biggie Iris Biggie Iris achievement will not be repeated in many, many years to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, the father from Grenada won last year, it was. But... it don't happen so. There's not. And Trinidad, you said Trinidad, the Mecca. Trinidad's been doing that show for a generation.
Yep, correct.
And it started 2 hours late.
Yep. And it's supposed to be a world-class event, you know, an international event. And that is one of the things that puzzled me.
How do you start it 2 hours late?
Yep.
How? I understand the song man was late. And how did song man get up? Anyhow, Trinidad is a special place. Yep. It's a special case. But I really called and to give some bouquets this morning to at least one major institution, public institution, the Barbados Water Authority, where their public relations and public information is concerned. I mean, their performances seem to be doing better out in the community and fixing pipes, etc. But I think that their communications, they've adopted a different communication strategy and it's working. I think it's more prolific and most informative. The news, the information is more newsworthy. And I just want to commend them for getting past that rocky period and staying focused and now delivering through their population a much better product. They're communicating about their product, and I think they need to be commended for that. And I don't know if I suspect the presence of Yvette Harris, Griffith, who's an old news hand, who's had experience in the news media. I think that probably obviously is coming through in their approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're doing a good job.
I don't want to sit here with certain knowledge and thing, because as you've said in the past, radio media is supposed to be educational and such, you know, enlightening. And one of the things that concerned me in and forget politics a moment, I'm talking about governance and style. When for Brass, that's one in particular, you communicate with the communication officers and the communication specialists and the PRO, and none of them wanted to come forward. A lot of work was actually being done in the solid waste situation on the South Coast. And I remember speaking to our now colleague, and she always used to present some type of resistance based on the fact that, you know, she said, higher up the ladder. And I believe that under the last administration, there was a style that stymied the whole idea of communication officers communicating. The same thing happened in BRA. The same thing happened with the police force and so on. So now, with a different style of communication, I believe they have a freer hand to communicate, because you don't only see any Barbados Water Authority. Any agency I call now for Brass Stats, they jump at the opportunity to come forward. So again, I believe that was a top-down phenomenon, and just as opposed to an individual within a particular organization.
All right, fair enough. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Those enlightening comments. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I still think the commendation is...
Man, no, for sure. I did it last week because their operation has just improved tremendously beyond even just communication. Responsiveness, because you can communicate, like they had even my good friend Joyanne. You remember Joyanne used to be here just communicating, but there was no movement. So after a while, it became so frustrating to hear the same thing over and over with no improvement. But you actually get in the improvement with the communication.
And those higher up seem to be performing better, mm-hmm. and a more relaxed, a more trusting style.
Correct.
His General Manager, even the ministers, mm-hmm. He's one of my favorites in his performance in that ministry. Mm-hmm. And he keeps to going on the ground and mixing and being there and present, being part of the process. And I think he's done very well for himself. Correct. I also want to commend the Sanitation Conservatory for the improvement in the general garbage situation since the arrival of the trucks. I think they've done well in that. It's settled down. You're not hearing the complaints. I'm here already going. I'm seeing things looking a lot better. Mm-hmm. I can't speak about places they don't go, but only from what I've seen where they go, I think they have improved their delivery of their collection mm-hmm. since the arrival of the new vehicles. But I still feel that the one thing is missing in that policy. We need to seize the opportunity and begin to change people's attitudes and habits. It's easy now that things are looking better and the country is looking cleaner. It's much easier, what I learned in communications, to build a new habit when things are looking good than trying to change a bad habit into a good habit. Now things are looking better. I think people should be encouraged to keep it clean, keep barbers, keep it beautiful. And you don't need a fancy ad. You just need a simple ad. I've seen some come out for like they call it coronavirus. I've seen some come out with hygiene habits from the Ministry of Health. Simple, straightforward information that gives you facts about how to do this, how to do that. I think if the SSA were to do that and encourage people to keep their surroundings clean as a matter of course, as a habit, as a barbarian characteristic, as part of the barbarian persona and personality, I think, because you have more than a generation turnaround, I think that would go a long, long way to help keeping the country clean and keeping Barbados beautiful. And I also want to say that there's one on single use. I don't know if you saw the one on single use plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sophisticated, slick, looks good and whatnot.
Yeah. I love the use of those because. There are some people who, for whatever reason, they don't get to read as much.
Right.
And when you produce it in that way, I find that it has a broader appeal and a greater reach. So I saw that they did some on the economy. They did some on, I think it was transport. They did some on a number of issues in the country. I think that that's a good mechanism in terms of communication and using the social media, if you want to call it that.
Right. And I'm glad to see that GIS is still playing such a prominent role. GIS has a lot of talented people. And I think once they're given their wings, they'll be very creative. They do things very thing. But I also want to mention I got some calls over the last couple of days about the plight of some people that were living in Greenhill, where there's some road work being done, and they tell me their lives have been made very miserable over the last few weeks by the work, the dust, their food, their mouth. A lady called me this morning, but I thought she was a gruff old man. Her voice is completely gone, and they don't seem to be getting the kind of response and assistance, like frequent wetting of the surroundings, apparently to scrape the road, etc. So dust is just churning in the air, and they're crying out for some help. So if anybody knows of that situation, they can do what they can to improve the lot. I'd be very, very. I would have fulfilled my commitment to tell them, yes, I would raise it. And the last thing I want to raise, because I know you're on short time today, is I heard a notice this morning about a meeting at the post office. When all the post offices are being closed, I think tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All. Mm-hmm. This is a very unusual situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that they're all at one spot. They may have an environmental problem. So something has happened. I was wondering, with the estimates going on, and there's been and budget coming up, there's been talk. You know, there's been a lot of talk about cost recovery, getting the economic cost through the various fees and charges, and being and that the post office should begin to pay its own way. So I'm wondering, and you know, we've been hearing talk now about all houses being required to have post boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you heard about that story.
Right, sometime back, that was one of the requirements as well. When we had, I think it was, that was years ago, we had a postman had been bitten by a dog. This is many years ago. I remember hearing that discussion. So it's, for me, these are type of like recycled discussions and regulations and stuff for me.
Except that when you hear things about fees and charges and economic costs and recovery costs, and paying its own way, and then you hear this talk about more paying you begin to wonder whether there's not some increase, some charge, some fee coming up. I just want to let people know and communicate. If whether you call it a fee, a levy, or a tax, as long as it's mandatory, as long as you don't have no choice to pay, it is a tax. Mm. So I'm just wondering if we need to brace ourselves for more charges from the post office. Maybe the cost of stamps will go up. But if you need the cost recovery, having cut drastically your post office staff, because Minister Inkson said that the post office was the hardest hit institution in the BERT program. We're cutting costs of cost of staff, etc. So I'm just wondering, I know I understand postmen have had their routes doubled up. There's fewer men doing, you double your route now, mm-hmm. and they're complaining that they're only getting the same rate of they're traveling more and getting at the same rate.
My estimation is that every host still has to get, even if you get less mail, it will probably be the same number of deliveries if every host still has to get that light bill and water bill and so on. So I think that we must have a holistic look at what is the future of the Barbados Postal Service. We've moved a lot, you know, to emails and so on, and there was this discussion on what will become of messengers and postmen or post office postal officers. My whole idea is that I don't think that we've been able to flesh that out enough. What is the 21st century setup for these types of occupations?
But is it the 21st century, or is it what Barbados requires and it needs?
Mm-hmm.
In the 21st century.
Correct. It's not one or the other, it's both.
Right, because do not also forget and don't minimize the integral role that the postal work has played, the postman or the post has played mm-hmm. in the community.
No, for sure. That's what I'm saying.
No courier can replace that.
Listen, if we have 170 households in Barbados, right, I think that it may be a false assumption because we have less mail that they have less delivery. Because every house still needs to be going to, whether you're now carrying one or two pieces of mail as opposed to six, it is the same amount of work. So what I'm saying is we may look at the reduced volume of mail. Now, with that considered, we still have to ask ourselves the question, what is the future of that occupation? And it cannot be anything hazard. A national discussion, some discourse, some decisions, some implementation, monitoring, tweaking. That is where I think we need to go with that. Anyhow, Glenn, we got to land the plane. I'll talk to you another day.
Yeah.
Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome. You're on Down to Brass Stats. Good morning and welcome.
How are you doing, sir?
I am good. What about you?
I'm cool. What the little one?
Better than me.
Okay.
The little ones, you know, a lot of people say the one is two. Okay, I'm going to forget the second one all the time.
Yeah. Just putting a little addition onto Mr. Glenn Murray's one about the people in Green Hill. And I always learned that you have to have some sort of disturbance to have some sort of good quality of life. So mm-hmm. every day there's some sort of disturbance, there's always something good to happen after.
You got to crack that egg to get the omelette, man. You can't suck out the egg. Or is it a mongoose?
Because I'm not apologizing for the company, but I just like mm-hmm. somebody you have to get change, you have to do some sort of disturbance. Some people don't. Oh, you can't always be comfortable. I have renovations and change up, you know.
No, I agree there for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. The thing is, I just want their point on that, and then move on. The thing about it is also to do with the timing, because we can deal with inconvenience, temporary as it may be, but when it drags on, and or the extent of it, or the reduced mitigating factors or measures put in place, like for instance, wetting on the road when you're doing construction. So you want the road repaired, yes, but still wet it so that you have less inconvenience for the persons using the stretch, if you get where I'm coming from. So it's a mixture of two sides. But go ahead, let's move on.
Yeah, I called really to comment about, you know, Thunder Brass that mm-hmm. Mr. Braffitt, and they were on the old guard, the new young guard, as you say. And
mm-hmm.
I was kind of shocked and puzzled when Mr. Braffitt was even trying to, you know, when they had the brass talks on Sunday, there was that news. The news came in about a shooting that happened with the Canadian tourists.
Correct.
Which my apology goes to the family. Them, be there what they're trying to do to try what's made them comfortable. But I was remembering that during his tenure, there was some sort of incident like that similar that had happened. And mm-hmm. some bashy ball, something.
Not only one, man. It was more than one.
So I was asked. Yeah. So I was like, when I hear this gentleman spoke, I would expect to hear him come with a strategy mm-hmm. because at that point in time, I don't like you to criticize people. I always said, Any organization could bring a solution.
Correct.
But have a solution.
How long you were following politicians?
Correct.
But and that's one of the things that turns so many people worldwide. You know, this is not Barbados this thing worldwide. You know, and even if you do come with solutions, the idea would be is you had your time. So we don't even want to hear your solutions. We want to see you implement them. Yeah. Now, in fairness to each administration, there are things that they will do that will take time to bite. Now, under Attorney General Braffy, I know they would have looked at some preliminary investigation removal to speed up the time. They would have implemented some recording devices so you don't have to spend so much time writing, which really takes a particular, make a case take really long, et cetera, et cetera. And then on this administration, people say, oh, nothing ain't done. But you would have seen that they would have implemented this whole thing about additional judges. You would have seen the initiative. Correct. Looking at night court, you would have seen the initiative with the Bail Act, which I don't know if people recognize that after the Bail Act, we see now, and we need to keep our eyes on it in terms of you may see more people wearing masks when they're looking to do crime, certain kind of gun crime and so on. Now, that's not a positive, but it would say to you that they're thinking twice and they're taking stock because of this particular measure. So I listen and I follow these things, and I think that politicians need to understand that we the people, but we have to call on them. For instance, we in the media and also the constituents need to call on them to do better.
Because I was asking, because when he spoke, I was asking myself, because I know Ryan, and I said to myself, if Ryan is my assignment, gentlemen, who want to see themselves in the future to be a new era on the horizon for DLP, I think they really need to separate themselves from the old guard. Because I was trying to get on to program and ask the same Mr. Braffitt. So because guns ain't just up here in Barbados, you know. Guns had to be coming in Barbados. Because I asked myself, when the scattered report wasn't working, we didn't know these things until obviously they were changed. And my problem was this, that when Mr. Braffitt and then Mr. Blackett came on the program and talked about no apology. I would ask myself, and I with this question I want to ask, if you can tell us for the 10 years you have carried for Barbados, you had an apology. But if you haven't, if you can look at yourself and tell yourself that you have carried for Barbados for the last 10 years, you don't have nothing to apologize for. But if you look at Barbados and you can see that, and you can see yourself, you believe in yourself that Barbados has been taken back, very far back, you don't have to apologize either. Because when apologies can care and they sound so arrogant, it's embarrassing to hear how this. If you have to keep apologizing, but can they still innocent to your for the thing that they have carried Barbados forward? And so it puzzles me, because when I hear these guns and things, it made me laugh, because maybe I didn't know that the scanning report were not working. And these are things that when you have your security at your borders, them are priority. They're priority. It seems as though they wasn't a priority. So, I mean, like, a lot of things that were lacking, and you said, like you said, some of the waterworks are communicating. A lot of things like this were lacking, and I believe that it's not the only apology. They shouldn't even be mentioned, because they shouldn't even be in line with them, because when you mix with, we put a bad apple in the bunch, all the whole crew apples get bad.
But that is the problem with the party system, because you have something called collective responsibility.
Correct.
And I think that is really the problem with the last administration. And when they try to defend it, because either they do have something to apologize for, either they failed, or the large majority of the voting population are foolish. When they say that we were fooled, it means that we are foolish. And when I say we, I'm talking about the voting population, because not necessarily Barbados. I think 77,000 people voted against them, or you could put it as vote for the Barbados Labour Party. Yeah. But there are indications that people voted against them, and I think that what may happen is people may put up an individual defense, but even that is hard. Because the last election could look at as one large election based on leadership, or it could be seen as 30 elections. And either way, it doesn't argue well for them. Because even if they had failed at the ministerial level, but still were able to perform at the constituency level, some of them would have survived. But what happened in that annihilation tells you that both at the ministerial level and the constituency level, they have things to examine. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. And for me, it pains me as a student of political science. You know, I look at it, and what baffles my mind is how do people so long on not come to terms? And not coming to terms for me means that you would really have to hold the public in contempt to say that we did nothing wrong, we have nothing to apologize for. And some of them have genuinely asked me the question, could you tell us what we need to apologize for? And we could start with communication. We could start with the management of the economy. And don't tell me about no greatest recession since the Cold War or nothing like that. Yeah. Because we were number last within CARICOM in terms of growth and development. The CARICOM had the same external factors. We don't live in a bubble. So that excuse is taken off the table completely. So these are the sort of things we need to discuss.
Yeah. Because you said a very good point. All in Caribbean we depend on tourist financing.
Yeah, correct. And the other Caribbean economy, some of the economy is a little different. You know, bananas, that. But the thing is, we all had the same external shocks.
Precisely. So I said to argue the point, but they don't have to apologize on the economy. So it's nonsense. Because to me, I mean, when I heard when the gentleman said, a foreign prime minister, I think said that. The water, the sewage industries in France, you know. I mean, like, you're talking to people, those people are being ignorant. Yeah. They have nothing.
That's one thing. If I had to ask for an apology.
What were you apologizing for? Because you showed the Barbie public, you have no respect, no regards for them for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Or less than 10 years, comment on something. But you show Beijing you have no respect for them. When Lord say, you're hurting me, you're going to fire me. I mean, you show Beijing you have no respect for them. Is either my way or the highway.
I said it here on this program a number of times, you know, at the risk of people trying, you know, falsely to give you that political brush, but that will always come. Don't worry about that. The whole idea for me was there was this feeling of contempt towards me. Like, I speak and I say to myself, I feel bad that I did not have a prime minister who once, on one single occasion, I might have missed it, that speak and sought to inspire me. I felt as though I was being castigated by my father every time I heard my prime minister. Or the sucking on the nipples. Or the clowns keeping noise in the Alexandra issue. And it went on and on. And every time they spoke, I felt attacked. And don't talk about when they talk with the medium brass, that's you feel even more attacked. But besides that, for the average Barbadian, I asked the Democratic Labour Party, I asked my colleagues and friends and family in the party to point me to where ever the party as a whole, but specifically the leader of not the party but the country, gave an inspirational speech to say, Beijing's my fellow countrymen, and I kind of give you that spirit to do more and to do better. Point me to it, and I will be silent on the issue until death do us part. And talking about parting, sir, we have to part at this time. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, on Facebook, there is a message here from Simon Baptiste. You can go over and read it, but for those of you, let me give you a little snippet if you don't plan to. It says accountability. Now, Simon Baptiste is the creative director of the International Soca Monarch. Our first two callers spoke about the litany of woes play against the International Soca Monarch last evening. Simon Baptiste, the creative director, writes on Facebook. He says, accountability. I've come to terms with that word and action many times in my career. Not only, and not many are keen to do so. However, today I will admit openly, publicly, that yes, in any position, be it a leader, government minister, CEO, or creative director of the International Soca Monarch, one has to be accountable. This is not some defensive rant. That would be pointless. This is being written regardless of the time frame given, it being 3 weeks or 3 days. If you take a post, you have to deliver. That's your job. No excuses. So let's talk of the night of the Soca Monarch. And he goes on to talk about the technical problems and all these various things. A very long post, but for those of you interested in hearing directly from the creative director, you can go over to Facebook, type in Simon Baptiste, and you can have a read over there. Now, from our own WhatsApp, I read this one, and then those on the lines, on the telephone lines, get ready, I'm coming back to you. You don't want to miss your turn. This one says, good morning. The main topic today, or should I say yesterday, at estimates was labor, and they're looking at increasing the minimum wage and so forth. However, I believe that they're missing another major problem with labor. Now, I work in government, and since the retrenchment, we are reduced to very little staff. But the unfortunate thing is that there are ones who do very little or no work at all if they do come. In my department, they come to work at 7 or 7:30. They go to an appointment at 9:30 and don't come back. Don't come to work on Monday or Tuesday. Come on Wednesday. Then don't come on Thursday or Friday. They start the same cycle the next week. God forbid if you speak to that person as the supervisor, they go on 2 weeks sick leave. Another worker who has a side job, whenever they get a call, just leave and come back and don't even call and say anything. You have those who come in at 10, take lunch at 12, come back at 3 and leave at 4. What wage salary should they be paid? I am at work, been here since 6:30 a.m. and at work waiting on clerical officers to come in so work can be done. Out of 4 clerical officers, one at work, not a word from the other 3. What does the Minister of Labor have to say or would recommend we deal with these issues like this because it is hampering the functioning of the department? Now, usually it is read through these before I read them on air. I didn't read this one. No, this is one of my bugbears for life. This is one of my pet peeves at the top of the top of the top of the shelf. So I better not talk on this. Because this is not hampering the functioning of any department. This is hampering the functioning of this country. You know, in 2013, I talk about this report all the time. Call it the Corellian Report. When Bieber reported that we would have lost over 1,000 jobs and $1 billion in investment because of this type of thing, because people couldn't get permissions, people couldn't get, you know, move around time for setting up businesses, etc., etc. So the economy loses, it bleeds, it has great lacerations because of this. And then you have to turn around and say, who am government workers? So you're actually shooting yourself in your foot, you know, and you're actually shooting everybody else. Because we can't get investment, we can't get major projects started, we can't even get minor projects started, because of this. And I said this has to do with accountability. This has nothing at all to do with those workers. I don't blame them 1%. I mean, they're over 12, so they should manage themselves. But you have supervisors and permanent secretaries and directors in place. I like this question, but I can step back from it today and ask the public, you, the country, who it will affect most. What should the Minister of Labor do about this? What should our cabinet do about this? What should we, the people of Barbados, who are paying these people through our many, many taxes, do about this? Don't the brass tacks. Good morning. 19 minutes before 11 o'clock. Talk to me, please.
Good morning, Mr. Corey. I've got 2 things I want to discuss with education and garbage.
Okay, let's go.
I'm going to start with the garbage.
You want to talk garbage first, or go ahead?
I'm going to start with garbage first. This morning, the garbage truck came around here in my area. Last week when it came around, the driver told the people to don't park the cars in the road. This morning I heard the man bellowing out, move the cars, and the driver of the garbage truck had to drive over the sidewalk and out of pass. The people further down my yard should be lucky that I am the van driver, the garbage truck driver. Because I would reverse back and carry the government truck on roads that I can pass.
But you feel that they should have to suffer and be punished because of the silliness of a few? And I'm being hypocritical. I used to live 2 different places, and they used to beat the horn on me. I used to park as close as possible. And I used to have to get up, and it was so disturbing to the point where you just park far and walking because I didn't like that. But do you think the people down the gap should have to pay because of the, let's call it silliness of a few at the top of the gap?
But, Corey, honestly, this is my mind, and this is the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that people should be responsible and should be responsible for their wrongdoings. So whoever get hit for other people's wrongdoings, well...
So be it.
Yeah, so be it.
All right, no problem. Education.
Uh-huh.
I know how you think, so no problem. You're a very serious man. You
no,
don't play.
Mm-hmm. You see this 11 plus?
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that they're gone. Between 1966, 67, that's when they did the 11 plus. And I was told by two teachers, because I know the teachers need to correct the papers.
Yes.
Two teachers told me I should have gone to secondary school. But I didn't go. People that, other guys that didn't know beef and bull, went to secondary school, and I couldn't go because my family wasn't in the elite or wasn't rich. So I am so happy that this 11 plus gone, that I didn't funny.
Me too. And I'm glad I didn't go to referendum because I am, and you would be surprised, the people that support it still. And I ain't attacking them, but it just surprised me. A guy called yesterday. He said, I didn't go to one of the, he called it something, one of the smart schools or something like that. But he wants it maintained. So the people that suffer at the hands of this type of allocation, the most. The thing is, Peter spoke about a study that showed that, right? And it was like, no. And I saw other studies saying the same thing. The major support for the 11 plus are persons who would have gone to what is considered the less prestigious schools. Now, that blows my mind. That is the irony of ironies.
Of course.
I don't understand it. I am sure there are pockets of the old school tie that support the older school tie, but it still amazes my mind. It boggles my mind because the implications for this exam, right? I don't think that we've ever really looked at it in any comprehensive way for people to understand what it did and what it is doing. What we do is we conveniently point to those who would have been able to excel in spite of, mm-hmm. not because of, in spite of it. Mm-hmm. thing, but I step back. I bow to you, sir, for raising those two wonderful points. Do have a wonderful day, and thank you for calling down to Brass Stats. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Returned.
Knowledge is knowing a fact. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that fact.
And the fact is, you may not get to read all today because we're in the express edition, but go ahead, sir. We can try.
Our local Mary Main penned a song Beautiful Barbados. Did they foresee what wasn't foreseen? Is it because from time to time politicians come and go and they want us to see some of our most historical buildings go with them, which is of architectural value? It is about time that the powers that be put a stop to the demolition of buildings and get corporate Barbados on board and recycle and refurbish what we have remaining, such as a building out earmarked to be demolished, the Geriatric Hospital on Beckers Road. I did not hear with my own ears, and there is a saying, you can't believe everything that you hear. But in every rumor, there is a spot of truth. I am going to say here this morning, sir, that if not mistaken, I believe that our Geriatric Hospital lies within the precincts of Heritage Bridgetown. It is now evident that no respect or acknowledgement for the National Trust of Barbados and by extension for Professor Dr. the Honorable Sir Henry Fraser professionalism, our parliament is believed to be the third oldest in the Commonwealth, 381 years old. Seeing that members of parliament are now complaining of its environment, would that too be earmarked along with the historic public library to demolish? We once had the Barbados Fire Brigade, as it was once called, well under the jurisdiction of the Commissioner of Police. And the some measures on Colbert Street. Those buildings were demolished. Now, there's a second fire brigade, now renamed the Barbados Fire Service, demolished. The former home of the Royal Barbados Police Force Band, Cecilia Barracks on Passage Road, the Shrewsbury on Colbert Mark, another historical building, as not far away as the first official residence of the Right Excellence, the National Hero, Walton Barr, Colonial Farm. And by extension, his birthplace has fallen into disrepair. Sir, please permit me to conclude by making a brief comment on yesterday's sitting of Parliament. The House made mention of lots of students leaving school without certification. The parliamentary representative for St. John said that there is a course And at the end of that course, students are given a certificate of participation. Analyzing that statement, sir, it bears no weight. We are in freedom of movement for our entrepreneurs to work overseas. And it should be mandatory for them to be in possession of a CDN GIS in their field of study, which should be accepted regionally and internationally. Thanks for your patience, sir. I listen to your response.
I thank you very much. I am going to give you one better. I am going to let the general public, who would have heard and digested exactly what you said, give us some comment on it. You know, we want all opinions to contend here on Don't Have Brass Tacks. Now, I've just been delivered some news. I don't know if it's good or bad, who it good for or who it bad for, but I am understanding that this express edition is not very express. It is actually going until 2 p.m. So you have an extra hour here with me this break. And, you know, cloudy, I got to say cloudy Ash Wednesday now. You know, happy Ash Wednesday to all of those of you who observe it. We here on the Ash Wednesday edition of Don't Have Brass Tacks, just has been upgraded from the Express edition. Brass Tacks, good morning.